So the Wildlife Way Station is devoted to providing a place of refuge, a sanctuary for animals, exotic animals. And what a past couple of weeks it's been for you guys at the Wildlife Way Station. Incredible job of getting the animals out and then getting them back again. So we are joined by Susan Hartland. She's the executive director at the Wildlife Way Station. And we're also joined by Charles Hollenbach. He's the president of the Wildlife Way Station Volunteer Alliance. Have you ever seen anything like this in your 20 years there? What happened with the sand fire in that area?
Well, because of where we're located up in the forest, there's always chances for natural disasters, floods or fires or heavy winds or even earthquake to affect us, but nothing of this magnitude.
Yes.
Especially nothing that came upon us so quickly.
You guys just had to scramble and get help. You got help from the community, and all the animals were safe in the end, right? Susan, you didn't lose any of them.
We didn't lose any. All of the animals were safe, and it was an amazing team effort by our staff and key volunteers and the community coming together to stand by in case we did need to evacuate everything.
Yes, because you kept the structure. It's still there. And most of the supplies are there?
Yes, yes. We were very fortunate.
We have a hospital on staff. We have food. We have all entire facility dedicated to all aspects of care for the animals. It was all at risk of being lost.
And so, Susan, do you want to tell us a little more about the Wildlife Way Station? It's exotic animals. Is it other types of animals?
Well, the Wildlife Way Station is in its 40th year. It was started 40 years ago by Martine Collette when she discovered there was a need for wildlife that was being kept in private homes or care or that was being confiscated. They had nowhere to go. So she started taking them in. And there, once people discovered she was taking them in, it was like the floodgates opened. So she eventually moved to the property that we're at in Sylmar in the Angeles National Forest. It used to be a ranch, and she's grown that into this wonderful sanctuary and said she spent 15 years just building enclosures. That's so many animals. And unfortunately, we still get calls today all the time for animals in need. So Rescue is just the beginning of our commitment to these animals. We provide them a lifetime of care, food, medical attention, enrichment, and love. This is their home.
Right. When they come there, it's their permanent home.
Their forever home, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have 400 animals?
400 plus, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the animals, Charles, that you have there?
We have anything from tigers to parrots to reptiles to birds of prey like eagles and hawks, zebra, hyena, you name it, llamas.
Llamas.
Everything.
Everything. Man, chimpanzees.
Chimpanzees. Mm. We are one of the largest chimpanzee rescue sanctuaries in the West.
And we're actually the first sanctuary to take in chimps from labs.
Mm-hmm.
They came from LEMSIP. So we were one of the first to do that.
Yeah. So keep in mind, Tina, a lot of these animals that we have rescued were facing dire consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they were going to be put down or whether they were being abandoned or whether they were in a bad situation. We did a rescue in Idaho many years ago where large cats were being raised and slaughtered for animal parts, unfortunately. So we did a major rescue effort about 20 years ago and were able to save many lives of some lions and tigers.
It's hard to believe that people do that to animals. And so you guys travel all over the world then to rescue. Is that right?
Yes.
Locally, do you get animals locally, like from sets, movie sets, people who have
taken in
a small lion and they think they can keep it?
That's a great example.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Especially now that the industry is moving more towards CGI, a lot of the animals that are being used are being retired. And we've had relationships with a lot of the community of animal trainers. So when they retire, they come to us and we're happy to give them a home.
Can you give us an example of one that you have or a couple that you have?
Was Bolero and the Lions. He was in the Hollywood industry. Mm-hmm. Little Chloe Bear. She's one of our little brown bears. She's a young girl. She's one of my favorites, a young girl. She was going to be used as an animal for movies, but she wasn't really cooperative. So they retired her to us, to the sanctuary where she lives with us. And Charles can probably.
And recently we've received in some lionesses that are stunningly beautiful and very healthy and fantastic shape. They travel the world. They literally travel the world.
Where'd they
doing
come from?
All sorts of events. They came from a trainer from a facility realized that they want to spend the rest of their life at our sanctuary.
Good. Do you get circus animals?
We have in the past, absolutely.
And Betty White loves you guys for taking in the chimpanzees, right? She's been behind you, has donated in the past.
Absolutely. And we even get private ownership of people that have made the choice to maybe try and have a parrot as a pet, and they don't realize the care, how long they might live. They might make a lot of noise or make a lot of mess, and they've realized, oh, wow, we made a mistake. We have a lot of those animals as well.
What we call fad pets. You can tell the ones people think a bird is a great pet, and all of a sudden we get in a whole bunch of birds or turtles or little gators, and you think, oh, the pet stores are selling, you know, this type of animal now, and then a year or two later, we get a bunch of them in because people don't realize a turtle is really cute, but when it becomes 400 pounds, or a pot-bellied pig is really cute, but when it's a large animal, it's no longer cute and cuddly.
It's scary. Well, in the case of a gator, people get alligators in California. Does that happen, that they do that?
It does happen.
Oh, yeah. My.
And you can still, in about 8 or 9 states, you can still buy pretty much any animal you'd like.
Wow.
And unfortunately, people make that mistake, and the animal winds up in a compromised position or in a situation where the owner or the animal are endangered. So we're the sanctuary. We're the facility that takes those animals. And there's no place like us.
No,
In the U.S. or maybe even the world. It's unbelievable.
So you guys kind of have a name worldwide then.
We do. We've been going strong for 40 years.
Yes.
And we have volunteers, dedicated volunteers. We have staff that are very dedicated. And we really saw that in this time of crisis during the fire, where staff and volunteers came together and acted in such an incredible, heroic way to safeguard these animals.
Yeah, let's talk about that, about how people helped you and can they continue to help, because the sand fire started on July 22nd. And then when did it get to be a danger for you guys? You know, you're going to work every day, you're hearing about this, and then boom, paint that picture for us.
Yeah, Susan can describe the scene.
Friday afternoon, we had heard the fire had started. We got a call from some of our staff and volunteers and said, are you aware there's a fire down at Sand Canyon N14? And we were watching it. Martine was on the phone. She had been on the phone with her contacts and the fire captains, people who were down there. We had one of our veterinarians drive down to the area to assess the situation. Mm-hmm. We were told at about 5 or 6 p.m. that it still wasn't a threat to us. Even a couple hours later, so we could watch the sky just get brighter and the smoke get bigger. But at this time, they really weren't clear on which direction the fire was going to go in. And we were preparing to evacuate. And about 10 o'clock was when the fire department, we saw the fire on the hill just a couple ridges away. And that's when the fire department came down, knocked on the gate, which we had open, and said, you might want to start thinking about getting out. We were already in the process of people coming up and already in the process of the team that was there getting some of the small animals out that were more susceptible to smoke. Some of the smaller primates, the birds, some of the small animals, get those guys out first. And then it happened really quickly. And that's one of the things that I think people just don't, how quickly this fire came up and over. It covered that ground from 14 all the way to the weigh station within a matter of hours.
Yeah.
And we just didn't have a lot of warning because we had been told it wasn't a threat to us, but we had already started packing up and moving animals. And then all day Saturday. So we evacuated for a couple hours. We started getting all the small animals out. The volunteers were there. A lot of the staff started showing up. And we evacuated for a couple hours, and then the fire department is all there. They had staged in our parking lot. They had trucks on the property. I mean, they were there for us, which is wonderful. They were really working for us to protect these animals. And about 1 a.m., they said, we can't, you know, you have to get out. It's a mandatory evacuation. We can protect you or the animals. You know, if humans are there, of course, they have to take care of us. So we wanted the animals protected. So they said mandatory evacuation. We headed down the hill not knowing what was really going to happen. The fire was really one ridge away. When you look at the map, it was less than a half a mile away.
You said it came up to your property line. And
right up to the property line, yeah. For it to move that far, that fast, about an hour later, we got a call from the fire chief saying the fire is contained enough. You can come back and still resume evacuations. And we just couldn't believe it, that we were this fortunate. Somebody's definitely looking out for this place.
Mm-hmm. So you couldn't take some of those animals in regular pickups or, you know, vehicles?
No.
Because you're dealing with bears, you're dealing with tigers, you have to sedate them.
Exactly, wild animals. And they have special carriers that they go in, and moving them that quickly, trying to get them out. There's a lot of animals that we have trainers that work with them. But when they're a little bit nervous and you're trying to move quickly, we had to sedate a lot of the animals to move them out, to get them into their travel crates, and then those go in special trucks or trailers. And then the community outpouring to come out and help was just really amazing. We had a lot of volunteers coming up and just people standing by for us with trucks and trailers.
And all the animals are back now, right?
They
Charles,
are.
They're all back.
They're all back home. And they're all happy. And we're grateful that they're all healthy and back in their daily life.
Yes. And so what can people do to help you now? Are there supplies that you need, you know, after going through this evacuation and then coming back? And
oh,
what can
absolutely.
They do?
There's a lot of help we need. We obviously need donations. We need supplies. We have a wish list that's on our website.
Perfect.
It's www.wildlifewaystation.org. We need volunteers. I'm president of the Volunteer Alliance, and we're the body that oversees all the volunteer activities, and we need good volunteers to come up and help in many different aspects.
One of the volunteer programs is work parties. So if a company wants to come out and do a work party, we've got a lot of enclosure work and fun stuff and enrichment, den boxes, all kinds of things. If a company wants to come out for a day and do a work party, that's wonderful. We love having them. And we also do educational programs. So we go out to schools and we talk about the animals we have, how they get in this situation, how we can hopefully prevent, you know, so many more animals in the future. Also coexistence. We all live in this beautiful, amazing area, not just here, in so many areas around the world where we should be grateful and appreciate living alongside wildlife. But a lot of people don't understand it. They don't know how to keep a respectful and safe, comfortable distance between ourselves and our domestic pets and wildlife. So we also do a lot of teaching in communities and schools on how to enjoy living alongside wildlife, because we all share this planet together.
Mm-hmm. Are you still doing the Tommy Chong promotion?
Oh, yes, we are. Actually, that's on August 27th. We're doing a promotion, having a dinner with Tommy Chong from famous Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
At our facility in a beautiful setting. Mm-hmm. Feels like you're in an African safari, hearing the sounds of all the animals and experiencing it and having an opportunity to have dinner and meet Tommy.
And find out about his wildlife.
Yes.
His wildlife that he's had.
They can buy tickets on the website, too.
Oh, cool.
You can find that there. And we're also getting ready to do a 40th anniversary gala. Raising funds. It's called Hollywood's Chimp Challenge. It takes a village to raise funds for our chimp village. We have one of the largest colonies of chimps, and we'd love to give them some acres and indoor-outdoor facility for them up on the hill behind us. And so we're raising funds to put that together.
You guys are incredible for everything that you're doing for animals, for exotic animals, and keeping them safe, getting them out of terrible situations, I'm sure, sometimes, you know, giving them a nice life. The Wildlife Way Station, Heroes to Animals.
Great. Thank you, Tina.